Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Your Money Your Life podcast, episode 176 of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in, watching, listening, wherever you're listening, wherever you're doing so, make sure you like, subscribe, five-star rate and review. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit the notification bell so you know every time we are dropping content every week or sometimes within the week. So do that for us as you will. Let's dive into what is going on in the world this week. So first thing we'll jump into is the actual markets. It was a big day kind of for the markets this week, big week for the markets, just because we had a little bit more information from on two sides. We had the inflation data come out, which was a little bit better than expected, is roughly in line, but better than expected. And then we also had the Fed meeting yesterday. So those two areas were huge, huge data points on Tuesday and Wednesday when it came to what the markets are doing. Of course, we saw that the headline inflation numbers were better, 4% year over year. Core was around 4.2%, where core inflation strips out food and energy, from the numbers, and it just gives you core. Whereas the headline with everything baked in gave us 4% year over year, and I think 0.1% on a month-to-month basis. So economists are expecting 4.1% on the headline, so it was a little bit better. So a lot of people were excited. The market was pricing that in and was excited for that because it made a lot of investors think that the Fed will then be able to, which we expected and we called for a long time, pause rates on Wednesday. And that's what they did. They paused the rate rising cycle, the rate hiking cycle that they were doing, and said they're going to let a little bit more data come through before they decide if they're going to do any more rate hikes this year, which is a possibility of more rate hikes. So that was the big, big thing that we saw in the last 2 days, is the Fed deciding that they're going to pause rates and keep rates steady at where we're at now, and also the inflation data that came out. So those are the two big things in the market. And as you can see, it's been a little bit more volatile, but it's been green. And I think there's going to be a little bit of a pullback today, but it's been fairly green so far in the last week or so when it comes to the stock market. And that's, again, we are in a fairly decent time as far as the market in 2023. Again, we said that it will be a lot better year, and it has been. Year to date, the S&P is up almost 14%. The NASDAQ, which is a lot of growth in technology, is up around 30%. And the Dow is doing decently. It's in the green as well. Not crazily in the green, but it's in the green. So again, we've always encouraged long-term investors to look at opportunities and to be dollar cost averaging, to be saving more and even save more in times of downturns because they will recover. We've said that from the beginning. There's a patience to it. There's a nuance to it, but that's something that needs to be practiced. And that's why we employ that as well. So in other news, let's jump right into it. Has anyone heard of this company, Zoom? This was a pizza startup that was using robots to actually make the pizzas. And I remember this company a while back. It was all the rage for a little bit. Was a Silicon Valley darling that was automated pizza making, having robots assemble pies. They were cooked in mobile kitchens and they would get to the customers as well. But the cheese kept sliding off the pies in transit, a lot of other issues. Long story short, this startup is closing its doors. It had raised $142 million round led by a firm, Goldfinch, and others. So there's just a lot of, excuse me, they raised $500 million from investors like SoftBank, and they had a $2.3 billion valuation at one point. Now they're shutting their doors. $2.3 billion valuation now as zero. And that's just another story of the craze of 2021, the craze of what happened, the peak of venture capital money, with the peak of everyone trying to invest, everyone thinking that everything just goes up. That's just what happens. Another story of what happens. It looks like Beyonce's recent Stockholm concerts apparently contributed to higher than expected inflation in Sweden. That makes sense to me. That makes 100% sense. Inflation is, of course, what happened in 2020 with relief and different things, but it's also stuff like that. Or if you saw where the PIF, the Saudi Arabian Fund, was going to offer, they offered Lionel Messi $1.6 billion. You can't tell me that this isn't contributing to inflation. These are crazy numbers being thrown out. And you can't tell me that this isn't contributing to the cost of everything going up. Supply and demand, folks. Supply and demand. This is an interesting story. Alcohol alternatives are heating up among Gen Z. Are people leaning into a sober, curious lifestyle? So mocktails or different drinks that are non-alcoholic are starting to become on the rise as people, younger people, are starting to look for ways to have fun, have a drink, but let it be non-alcoholic, which makes sense to me. One, you know, when I drink, which is not often, it's, if you drink, it just doesn't let me sleep that well, to be honest. Like, I sleep really, really well when I don't. And so this is really interesting because people want physical health, wellness. That's such a big thing, especially in the younger generation. And now you're seeing people looking for alternatives to alcoholic drinks, which I think makes sense. I mean, you have fun, you have a buzz, but then you're like, I don't get hungover ever, but I just don't sleep well. So that's interesting. I think that's something people will really, really look into in the very, very much future. Mall operator Westfield is leaving San Francisco's center after 20 plus years. That's crazy. There's a Westfield Mall in New York, which is a big mall, not too far from Western Tribeca. And that's interesting. Huge, huge, huge mall operator. Okay, this is another interesting story. It's New York East Coast bias based again, but NYC could become the first U.S. city with a congestion toll easing and adding to commuting woes. So New York could become the first U.S. city to charge congestion tolls, and others could follow to ease traffic troubles. The Federal Highway Administration greenlighted a congestion pricing plan. Pretty much if you are drivers heading below a certain street, so 60th Street for the New Yorkers that would know, they could face congestion tolls raising up from $9 to $23 depending on peak traffic hours. So they would pay a toll for just going below 60th. If you're driving, you'd have to pay a toll. So for the people from New Jersey, they're crossing the bridge, they have to pay a toll there. And then when they get below 60th, they have to pay another toll there. Probably got to not make people too happy, but people carrying cars carrying people with disabilities could potentially be exempt, and residents under 60K a year may get a tax credit. They're expected to rake in $1 billion a year from tolls, helping offset billions of losses and fewer people taking public transportation. So this is another way for them to recoup funds. If you're thinking about states and cities and governments, federal as well, they're going to look for ways to recoup funds. It's going to be increased taxes. It's going to be increased tolls, all different things. Usually not income taxes, or well, could be income taxes, could be real estate, could be property. They're going to look for ways to boost revenue because governments, they're going to need it. They're going to need it. So another interesting story, Nike is looking to rethink its direct-to-consumer pivot and repair relationships with retailers. I'm surprised to hear this because direct-to-consumer is better margins, better for the business, better control over the way your items and products are marketed and displayed. And you control the supplies much better, so you can increase the price points on some of them. But they were focusing on that a lot, and that really helped business. But now they're saying they're trying to get back the wholesale relationships with Macy's, Foot Locker. They just want to, I guess, further the way that they distribute. And it's the past two quarters that it looks like Nike's wholesale business has logged impressive growth, outpacing the direct-to-consumer. So it seems to me that maybe people are going back out to buy stuff in the last couple of quarters, and they want to make sure that they're in these stores and not just direct to consumer. So that's quite interesting. All right, let's talk a little bit more about the Fed and the funds rate. So again, yesterday, for those listening on Thursday morning, the Fed officials left interest rates unchanged after hiking rates 10 times in a row since March 2020. And we predicted that again, and a lot of people were on that side that would be a pause, but they did project Their forecast did project that there could be a couple, one or two more rate hikes this year. If, of course, if more inflation data comes out that is not in the direction they needed to go. So they would amount to two more quarter point rate hikes increase this year, because they had projections on where they expected the rates to end this year by the Fed members. And it pointed by a majority towards a couple more rate hikes. So as you can see that chart there, what I thought was interesting is a chart on, if I still have it, on what happens during hikes. And that was this first chart. So as you see here, this is dot plotting the Fed funds rate, federal funds target range, as well as the gray areas, recession period. So once we hit a recession, of course, they have to lower the rate to spur economic growth, to get people doing things. And so we haven't, that's why people have been calling for a recession, because we've raised rates right here. We're on the 20, at the end of this mark here, we've raised rates, but we still haven't officially hit recession. Of course, we did during the pandemic. It was a very short blip of recession. We threw rates down, and you know, everything rebounded in a V-shaped recovery, which is kind of crazy. But now people are saying, all right, are we going to hit a recession? Are we going to have a soft landing? Which people are now saying that's a very high possibility, which would mean the Fed maneuvered this very, very well if we do have a soft landing, which is really, really hard to do. So we'll see if we get that, as inflation is something that's, it's no joke, and it's definitely hurting some areas and some consumers as well. So that's something to look out for on the inflation front. There was a lot of stories this week, so we want to make sure we hit all of them. A few more to go here before we dive in. Oh, another big thing. We saw the Denver Nuggets win the championship. They did. They finally did it. I called it in six games. It happened in five, which was close. I called it in six, happened in five, but it was good. Congrats to them for taking the championship in a well-fought series. You got to give credits to Miami Heat too. Eighth seed, lost their first playoff game, play-in game, and then get all the way to the championship. That's incredible. But both teams played great. Now, we are going to get into a couple more things. The first being questions of the week, and then an entrepreneurship talk. For those that want to be entrepreneurs out there, what does it actually take? What could you start doing? Is it worth it? How do you do it? How do you know if you should be an entrepreneur? Those are things that I think should be discussed. First and foremost, let's get into the question of the week. I think that's the first thing we want to dive into. So, question of the week. What percent of consumers using buy now, pay later have been late with their payments? That's actually a good question, because we know consumer debt credit is on the rise. Buy now, pay later was all the rage. Very dangerous product for people that don't have money management skills. What is the percentage? I'm going to say it's up to 30 to 40%. I think I saw that a long time ago, but I know it's risen recently. So I'm going to say 30 to 40%. And I'm close. The answer is 42%. So 42% of the people that use buy now, pay later have late payments. That's not a good stat. Buy now, pay later services jumped in 2022. And those who got kind of 42% have had late payments or some kind of late fee. That's a huge, huge number. That's really huge. Like, credit risk should only, on these type of products, like, you only want to see a 10%, 15% charge off at the most. But 42%, that just tells me the wrong type of, it's almost predatory. The wrong person's using this product, to be honest, but it makes sense. If you don't have, you know, yeah, tough there. Very, very tough. So back to our entrepreneurship discussion in this roundtable. I think I've heard from a lot of people that they want to do something, or they, you know, are thinking about something. It's, again, I applaud that, because as an entrepreneur that did really well, has done really well, doing really well, it's really the best thing that ever happened, when you know that the corporate route isn't the route for you. But how do you know that? I think, one, if you always are questioning why you're doing something in corporate, or, you know, want to understand why, or you're doing a task that's like really narrow and you want to understand the bigger picture, and you've always wanted that, or always felt that, or always felt that you didn't fit, you might actually be an entrepreneur. That's how I felt. I was doing tasks that I was like really on board with, didn't care for, wanted way more upside. And I just didn't know what that meant because no one around me was really entrepreneurs. So I didn't know. I was like, is this normal or, you know, am I just weird? But no, it just means you, again, you have a different path and you got to accept it and look for ways to work with that path. Persistence is key in it. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, persistence is key. Confidence is key. All these different things. You could say all these things, but what does it actually mean? It's super hard to tell you what it means in the sense of you'll know when you're in a situation and you utilize those skills, whether it's confidence, persistence, any of those things, evolving with what's going on, being able to sell and market. Those are super crucial tools and skills that if you don't have, you definitely shouldn't be, you know, doing entrepreneur. Not everyone needs to be an entrepreneur, right? Like everyone wants to be because it's like, oh, freedom, financial freedom, all this incredible upside. But it is 100% not for everyone. If you're not able to be able to withstand risk, you're not able to hustle and do a lot of different things that will, that are not norm in a corporate environment. If you like try to bring corporate to entrepreneurship, it just doesn't work. It's not the same thing, totally different skill set, mindset. And not a lot of people are built for that. But for those that are, it's way, way more rewarding, right? In more ways than one. But that's an aside for those thinking about it, really, really dig into why, what you're gonna do, how you're gonna monetize, how all these different things, because it's something that you have to know clearly and then execute without any hesitation. Any hesitation. So that's my little spiel, my roundtable on entrepreneurship. Again, wonderful, wonderful. Hope everyone's having a wonderful summer so far. The weather is getting great. Make sure you tune in here every week because we do this every week, and we will see you next week.